At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo! Get those baseball games on.
I'm trying. This TV's a little slow.
Go to Pittsburgh. We can watch Paul.
Okay. Just give the TV a second.
Wife will be in the crowd.
Are you excited?
Yeah, it's baseball season, man.
I know. Officially now.
Yeah. Happy opening day.
I'm not going to be able to get this to work.
I'm going
to
kill you.
I'll get it to work. It just... Oh, there. It started moving again. It came back to life. Okay. Come on, Pittsburgh. There we go. Got it. And do you want to watch Pittsburgh's broadcast?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. And do you want to watch it... live?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, sometimes if it's in the third inning, I just start it over so you'll bet on stuff that is wrong.
Bad.
It only worked once, but it's pretty funny. I saw something about opening day today. What was the thing I just had saved here? Oh, we were talking about ballpark foods, you know, what people eat, and then the questions that Americans have been Googling the most, I guess, that have to do with ballpark foods.
Okay.
So, like... let's see. I guess these don't all have to do with ballpark foods. What does PO mean? Actually, I don't think any of these have to do with foods. What does PO mean?
Pitcher only?
It says short for put out. If you record an out by catching a ball, tagging a runner. I've never heard someone say PO, though.
Well, yeah, and then there's also, I guess they don't have them. And in high school and, like, you know, there'll be pitchers only. That means they don't play the field, but I guess with the exception of Shohei.
Okay.
Everybody's a PO.
Yeah.
So, all right, there you go.
Okay. So these are the number one food that people Google. What are they Googling? Ballpark beer. Maybe they're looking up the prices.
Yeah.
Brats, corn dogs, Do we have corn dogs at home? Fries, like nachos, burgers, pizza, pretzels, pulled pork. How much money does a minor league player make on average?
They just got a raise not too long ago.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's more than what I remember. When Real Sports did that thing a few years back, it was like 10-11 grand. $20,000 to $36,000 a year, depending on which league they're in.
Yeah.
Used to be quite a bit less. They got the raise in 2023. How heavy is a baseball? I don't know why people are Googling that. The rules say, it does vary slightly. It says the rules say a ball can't weigh less than 5 ounces or more than 5 1/4 ounces. So
okay.
I guess it can be. What does OPS mean? This one you know, right?
Yeah.
Combining your on-base percentage with your slugging percentage, or basically how many extra base hits you get. Fantasy baseball nerds.
Well, there's OPS plus. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it, yeah.
And that's a term you will hear, like ERA. How long are baseball games now? Well, they're not as long as they used to be. The average, let's see, it was an all-time high. This was the average. Hit an all-time high of 3 hours and 10 minutes. That was in 2021. So the games kept getting longer and longer and longer. They got that average up to 3:10. Then they changed those rules going into last season. We got the pitch clock and all that. And now the average is down 2 hours and 36 minutes.
Okay.
So they're over a half an hour shorter now, which is pretty crazy. I had no problem with that. But also, I am not... I don't think anyone would invite me into the baseball purist debate about, you know, do we like this? Would we allow this change?
Sure.
But just as a casual fan, I was fine with the changes.
Yeah, me too.
And I did think that it could help the game. The game, 3 hours and 15 minutes or whatever it got into, it was long.
Yeah.
They spent a lot of time out there.
Part of it, though, that, you know, like I went to one that went through by pretty quick.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
Oh, man, I'd rather stayed an extra hour at the ballpark, I guess.
Yeah.
Out there, on TV, it's fine, but sometimes.
I don't remember who we went to... who we were watching, but yeah, it was. I felt like it was a 90-minute game. I mean, it was super fast.
I'll ask you a bunch of abbreviations and see which ones you can come
up
with.
No.
The Church of Laszlo.
Ready?
Yeah, I guess.
Hey, it's opening day. I figured I'd give you here some terms that you'll hear thrown around.
Just embarrass me.
Well, I mean, these are, look, H.
A hit.
K.
An out.
A strikeout.
Strikeout. Sorry, strikeout. I said strike earlier.
R.
A run.
E.
An error.
There you go. See? ERA.
Earned run average.
See? There you go. You got this.
That's it.
A. B.
That's a... wait, that's not on base. That's a... Is it a... It's one base. It's a single, right?
It's an at-bat.
Oh, that's at bat. Okay.
A-B.
See, I'm really nervous here. I'm very nervous.
A-V-G.
An average.
There you go.
Average.
That's a batting average, right?
Mm-hmm.
B-B.
Batting... I don't know B-B.
Base on balls. It's a walk.
Oh, base on balls. A walk. Right.
Right.
Okay, B-B.
All right.
What else?
Well, let's see. We've got... Oh, let's go K/B-B.
Strikeout, and I don't know.
It compares the number of strikeouts a pitcher accumulates versus their walks.
Okay.
So strikeouts divided by walks, and I'm looking these up too, effectively measures a pitcher's ability to control their pitches.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
This is the same, K/9.
Okay.
Strikeouts per 9 innings pitch, right? Things are easy.
No, it's... Well, I guess...
We did all the basic ones, and you have BB/9.
Okay.
Walks per nine.
Per nine.
Right?
Nines.
And then you have whip. You'll hear a lot of people talk about whip.
Yeah. What is whip again?
Well, that's now... See, it's getting confusing, but it shouldn't be. It's walks plus hits per innings pitched.
Okay.
So it measures the number of base runners a pitcher allows per inning.
Okay.
Right? Whip near 1.00 below is considered excellent.
Okay.
All right.
Below what? Below
1.00.
Okay, so below a 1.
Yep.
Okay.
Now, some of them can get confusing, but they're interesting, right?
Yeah, they are all
so, like,
interesting.
Everybody goes by ERA, right? That's forever. It was just ERA. It was in the paper. Everybody's like, ERA, ERA, ERA. Then they came up with fielding independent pitching, which is FIP. And that evaluates the effectiveness of a pitcher based solely on what he can control. So the stat measures what a player's ERA would look like if the pitcher were to have experienced league average results on balls in play. Mm-hmm. So if your defense was just average, this is what your FIP would be, which is probably more telling than an actual earned run average.
And
right?
The idea here, now, but that could potentially make you look better or worse, though, right? Because if sure. you have an outstanding defense,
right, yeah.
right, then, okay.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. So then that they would know, like, so if you were watching Moneyball mm-hmm. and they were like, look at this guy's ERA, they'd be like, well, what's his FIP? Because that defense is legit, yeah. was, right?
Yeah.
So there you go. And then, you know, there's, well, you know, there's SWSTR percentage, that's swinging strike rate.
Okay. No, didn't know that.
That's, it just measures pitcher's ability to make the batter miss.
Okay.
So what if he throws a ball and the hitter misses the ball, mm-hmm. swinging, mm-hmm. then we know he's probably got good stuff.
Right.
Right? He's making guys miss the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then they'll do it even deeper, like swinging, miss, strike rate, I don't know what it is, with balls that aren't strikes.
Okay.
So now we know he can get batters to chase out of the strike zone.
Okay.
Right?
And what's
so
that called again?
That one, I don't know.
Oh, I thought that was still the same.
Well, the swinging, but they do it more.
Okay.
You know, but that's a swinging strike rate.
Isn't there one for...
called strike plus whiff rate is a statistic that has popped up in the last few years. That's the number of swinging strikes a pitcher gets divided by the total number of pitches they throw.
But you're not going to hear the announcers reference that a lot.
You'll hear them say whip a lot.
Whip, yes. But,
right.
but that specifically, I feel like that's not something that you're like, man, they're always talking about that. Whip, you will hear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ERA
exit
is probably
velocity.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
even up on the thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that'll say, you know, EV, that's how hard the ball is hit. Expected batting average, XBA.
Okay.
So...
Isn't there one for, I mean, there's one for everything.
Of course.
But, because you said...
Launch angle.
You said, I don't remember which one you said earlier, and I was thinking about, because I thought there was one that starts with an A that's an out when it's a fly out. But is there an acronym for that? This came up for some reason. Ooh. I had to look it up because somebody said it. And I was like, what's that mean? And when I looked it up, I think it was like, that's specifically for a fly out.
Okay.
I think, but I don't remember what that was now. If you just, I mean,
if
you were to sit and try and learn all the baseball acronyms, you'd be spending a long
especially
time.
Especially with sabermetrics. Mm-hmm. Weighted is runs created measures a player's total offensive value by runs.
Okay.
So it uses a hitters to calculate the total runs they've created for their team. Therefore, the stat can be interpreted as player X was worth X runs to his team last season.
Okay.
Batting, and this is a good one always. I always look at this one, if you can find it, because I think it's good, is batting average on balls in play.
Okay. This is something that, a lot of these are things that fantasy baseball players
right.
will use these a
and
lot.
And a lot of GMs, because mm-hmm. if they'll look at batting average on balls in play. So, say, that would just tell you, like, there was a point at one point where it was like hard hit balls, batting average with balls in play. The guy from Milwaukee, I can't think of his name right now, but like his batting average with balls in play was like 100. And people were like, he's having a horrible, horrible year.
Okay.
But you're like, no, because he will eventually get to the median, which is the average is a batting average of 300 on balls in play.
Okay.
So he's going to have a great second half of the season because it can't continue like that. The numbers would say if you hit the ball in play, right,
mm-hmm.
you would bat 300. Well, he's only batting 100, but he hasn't gone all through the season. He's had really bad luck. He's hitting the ball hard, but right
yes,
at somebody.
Yes, we've talked
he's
about
hitting
this
the
before.
Ball, smashing
okay.
it, but it's right at somebody. Somebody's making a good play.
Yes.
Well, the longer the games go on,
sure.
be it a season, two seasons, three seasons, he's eventually going to get back up to that 300
right.
and probably go over that.
Okay.
And then back down to the median. So you can be like, no. Christian Yelich was it. He's going to be great. Don't worry about it.
It's
he's
like
just having bad luck right now.
Like when they do it, and they'll do it a lot for a series, they'll say, you know, this guy's only been batting 100.
Right.
And then you realize they're talking about this series. Last year in the playoffs with the Royals, Aaron Judge.
Right.
I don't remember how long it took him to get a hit, but I mean, you know, he's batting zero there for a long time.
Right.
So, yeah, you know that's not who he is.
So it's batted, but those would be, I don't know what he was if he was striking out or not. Mm-hmm. But that stat would be specifically, those are like, there's also a stat for barreled balls.
Okay.
And that's where you hit it with the barrel, which is more likely to get a hit. And then that would be, you know, you'd say, all right, well, you know, he's hit it hard, but he's hit it right at somebody. Chances are, if he gets enough at bats and hits the ball the same way, then, you know, his average will go up and he'll be fine.
It's another way to try and get a clearer picture.
This big. On my coffee table of Sabermetrics called The Book. And they talk about all of it, and you can just read it, and they'll tell you, like, little things that, you know, I even see, like, high school coaches and, you know, college guys, hell, major league coaches, who, like, you read it, and you're like, oh, well, of course. So, you know, like, we always say, like, okay, get that guy who's fast and gets on base. Right? Like, put him lead off, right? Yeah. But then they'll go through and talk about it, and they'll be like, you know, that doesn't make any sense. He's only lead off once.
Okay.
But we kind of make it seem in our head like he's going to lead off every time. It's like, no, that's not how it works. He only leads off once, so you should probably put this person on or this person on and move that person lower or that person up, and it'll give you all these ideas on how to make the perfect lineup. Okay. So, you know, and I think there's a lot of managers like, I don't want to hear all that.
Yeah.
I'm putting the fast guy first. That's how it goes, right?
I wonder, you know, there's like, they talk about at churches, the priest or the minister, whatever they are, they'll talk about this particular priest or minister really knew the scripture really well. They could, you know, cite scripture. They knew it like the back of their hand. So we know that some priests, some ministers know it better than others. And you'll hear them also say, this minister doesn't quote scripture a lot. He doesn't. There's been a criticism like Joel Osteen. I've heard that in the past. He doesn't necessarily know the Bible if you go to test him on it. I wonder if it's kind of similar with managers in baseball. If you talk about these metrics, that you're going to have some of these guys who know all of it like the back of their hand. But I'll bet there are some who are like, I don't know, yeah, I've heard of it, but it's not something that I think about constantly.
They would all have heard of it, are aware of it, and probably use some.
Some of it, for sure.
Some that they're like, all right, that makes sense. But there's a lot of managers like, I'm not listening to that.
Yeah.
I'm not listening to that. Baseball's a field game. It's not, we can't break it down all the math.
Yeah.
That's not the way it goes. You know what? You know, Giancarlo Stanton hasn't been good all season, but I'm going to play him in the World Series because he's clutch.
Yeah.
And you know what? Then he becomes clutch. So, you know, I mean, there, you know, ways to go about it both ways, I guess.
Because
but there are guys who absolutely are like, if you watch Moneyball, Art Howe's like, what are you talking about?
Right, exactly. Well, and if you wanted to learn it, if someone introduces you to it as an adult, I mean, it reminds me of like a character in Game of Thrones living at the Citadel or whatever. You'd have to spend so much time trying to commit this to memory.
If you have a good memory, about baseball is that they're saying like, so you can take like sports management classes and try to get into like, say, the front office of the Royals, right?
Okay.
And you want to work in the scouting department or whatever. But they're saying they don't hire those guys at all anymore. They all hire, you know, physics and math guys from Yale.
Okay.
So that they can figure out all these numbers because baseball guys really don't matter.
That makes sense.
Right.
That makes sense.
Like, yeah, we don't need your baseball guys anymore.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51,
and the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Do it!
Yeah, we're doing it. All right. Well, so, we just talked about this a couple minutes ago, but the whole signal thing, I mean, it is still, I guess the biggest story in the country is still the signal thing, at least from the network news sources. Okay. I don't know what they're doing on cable news. I'm sure MSNBC and CNN, the biggest story. I don't know if it's the biggest on Fox News. But it seems like it's pretty big story still on the networks. And the thing now is someone going to get fired, like you said? Is there going to be some sort of accountability? Do we need to have hearings, whatever? And, of course, it's back and forth of, like, was this stuff sensitive, classified information, or was it not? Was it war plans or was it not? Because he had Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, continue to say, like, there was no war plans. But when I read it, I'm like, well, it seemed like war plans. But now, as you mentioned, we're to a point where people are like, was that really in the group chat?
Mm-hmm.
You know, did he really say that stuff? Because Jeffrey, the editor of The Atlantic,
mm-hmm.
the reason he published this sensitive stuff, he'd only published a few little snippets before. The reason he published all this stuff is because he was tired of getting called a liar.
Right.
Being told there was no war plans in there. Right. He's like, yes, there was. I'm telling you, it was so crazy I thought right. It wasn't real.
Calls are growing louder for an independent investigation into the now infamous Signal group chat.
The press upplays it. I think it's all a witch hunt.
The new screenshots show Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth writing hours before American airstrikes were set to begin. At 12:15, F-18s launch the first strike package. At 1:45, strike drones launch. 2:10, more F-18s launch. 5 minutes later, quote, is when the first bombs will definitely drop.
Okay, I definitely don't know the answer to this, and maybe there's no way that we would, but the one thing I haven't heard mentioned is, and maybe somebody's brought it up, but I haven't heard it mentioned, is why did he need to, let's say the journalist wasn't inadvertently added, okay, and it was just the people that they wanted it to be. Why did he need to have a Signal group chat about that? Like, they all need to be kept... I'm asking. I don't know. Like, do they need to be kept up?
I mean, that's obviously a big question. Why is all this on Signal? Yeah. Why is it with messages set to vanish?
I heard some of them saying that they had been told up until this, that Signal was...
Approved?
But there's been back and forth on that. And I know... I mean, I think that I heard yesterday that they'd officially said, yeah, okay, no, it's not approved. But there was some back and forth on that about, like, hey, you know, you guys act like... We were crazy for using this, but it was an approved source. It's encrypted. It goes away. I don't think it's supposed to go away.
No.
But I just thought, like, I wonder why all those people, and I don't know who every single person on that list was, I wonder why they all need minute-by-minute updates. You know, and I guess I just thought that if those types of people, the vice president, Tulsi Gabbard, all those people need minute-by-minute updates, if that's normal in any administration when there's going to be some sort of an airstrike or military operation, that... There was some other way of doing it. I don't know what that other way was. I guess I thought they had like a government text, you know, on a government phone. They had their own secure channel. That's what I assumed. Like they got little notifications, ping, right. You know, first launch, yeah. 12:26 p.m. That's, and if Hegseth wanted to be the one to send those out, okay. I don't know if it's normal or not. It's probably not normal to send it on Signal. It's certainly abnormal to send it on Signal with a journalist on there. That part we can all agree. That's not normal. And, I'm sorry, Hegseth. I don't know much about you. But you can't say that you weren't texting war plans. Unless I'm supposed to believe that the Atlantic created these texts, right? That this stuff wasn't actually texted. If I'm going to get conspiratorial.
Right.
But how can you say those aren't war plans?
Saying that. I think their argument is that it doesn't say exactly where the strike is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that in order to be a war plan, it needs to be more detailed, but... You know, I think now, again, you're just arguing, like, it's a war plan.
It's a war plan.
A war plan.
Yeah, and I did see people on Reddit saying, whether or not they were trolling or not, but trying to say, like, there's no way to know that they didn't create those messages and put them out there. I'm thinking, anyone arguing that? You would know,
like, Trump, if they said it's not.
Right. If they argued and said, no, that's not what was on there. Of course, we wouldn't know, because it was set to disappear, right? So, the only reason that it was saved is because... A journalist was on there. It's not like they could go back and say, no, here's what it was. They can't go back to Signal, supposedly. Signal is known for not having that stuff saved. There's been multiple federal cases or police investigations where they have subpoenaed Signal, and Signal always uses it as a way to promote themselves, because they say, hey, look, we just got subpoenaed again, this time by the FBI or whatever,
right.
And we gave them nothing because we don't have it. And they don't believe us, we don't have it. And so that's kind of a way that they promote themselves. So I believe that it's not saved somewhere. So it's not like Hegseth could go back and say, look, see, this is what was actually messaged, because Jeffrey's the only one who saved any of it, right?
Yeah.
They would have to argue. They would have to themselves say, I don't think I texted that. That's not what I said.
Oh, yeah, they're not arguing.
And I have not heard that once. You know, I know you're a moon landing conspiracy theorist. That was my thing about the moon landing. Like, the Russians never said they faked it. It's not real.
Right.
Like, somebody should have come out and said if they thought that it was fake. Anyhow... I don't know if there's any updates beyond that. The last time I checked, that was the thing.
Well, the Attorney General said it was sensitive information, not classified, and inadvertently released. And what we should be talking about was that it was a very successful operation. So I'm guessing the Attorney General is not going to look into it.
Okay. I saw something, some sort of clickbait earlier that I meant to make a mental note and go back and look at. What's her name? Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Mm-hmm.
And it said it was from a few hours ago. And it was, I guess, a reporter maybe from Sky or some other network, and that they asked her about the Signal thing. And in the description of the video, could have been clickbait, that she got really angry and told the reporter to go back to their country or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. Man, oh, I'd like to look that up. Koberger, he's the guy accused of killing all those college students in Idaho. There is some actual news about this, I guess, especially for people who are interested, because we now know a little bit more about what the prosecution has and what they're going to use as evidence. And we also know that the defense has made up their mind on whether or not Koberger will testify.
Prosecutors offering new revelations this morning about some of the evidence they plan to use against Brian Koberger. The black mask or balaclava, prosecutors say Koberger purchased 10 months before the murders. The same type of mask, they say, a surviving roommate told police she saw on an unknown man in the home the night of the murders. While his legal team appears poised to keep him off the witness stand, arguing Koberger's autism, including his, quote, intense gaze, awkward body posture, and inability to show emotion, could sway a jury to wrongfully convict.
Okay, so you got the balaclava, or the ski mask, whatever it is, as evidence. That's big news, apparently. And then the fact that he will definitely not testify, but I thought we already knew that.
Okay,
the balaclava thing is kind of interesting because, I mean, it seems like pretty good evidence. They've got evidence that he bought this thing at Dick's Sporting Goods, I think it was, 10 months before the murder. They show what it looks like. It's obviously got the item number on the receipt. Sure. They show you what it looks like. And one of the witnesses that saw him that they were mentioning and described a guy in a mask, she actually sketched a picture for the police on a piece of paper and said his mask was like this. And she drew a mask that looked just like that mask that he bought 10 months before the murder. So,
well, I'm sure, you know, nobody else bought one.
I mean, I don't own one of those. Do you own one of those? It's not the only thing. That can't be all you've got to convict someone, but you can.
They sell them in Dick. I don't know. Ask Dick's how many they sold.
Yeah, maybe. Sure. Maybe that's a good
Dick's, did you only sell one of these? Because, I mean, it sounds like you're trying to put them away like the whatever that guy is in California. One of those serial killers who was the only guy who had the Elise shoes or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the
Night Stalker,
yes.
Yeah, so he had a pair of shoes, and they were like, well, they've only sold one pair of these shoes.
Yeah.
No one else bought them.
Right.
Well, now we know who bought them.
Right.
You know.
I was pretty crazy.
Trying to put that in a ski mask at Dick's is going to be tough.
Well,
in Idaho.
It's just
I'm guessing a lot of people bought them in Idaho.
Just one piece of evidence. I think it's like,
know, do you own one? You're asking people in Florida if they own one. No?
I think they said it was for hunting or something, but I'm not sure what makes that specifically for hunting and not just for your cold and you want to cover your face. But anyhow, yes, it's just a piece of evidence. If that's all they had, I would say it ain't enough, but they can throw it in there. The Vice President of the United States. Who is he? Name him.
J.D. Vance.
Good job! Yeah. Man, you're good at
Hellbilly.
Civics.
Hellbilly.
Yeah, Hellbilly Elegy. Elegy. Yeah.
That guy.
He
went to Ohio State.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like him.
I know. That's why I respect him. Because I know how hard it is to get into that school. It's not like Michigan where they let anybody in. It's a tough school, and then the degree means something. Hell, he's the Vice President of the United States. I think the proof is in the pudding. Anyhow, he and his wife are going to Greenland. I don't know. Yesterday,
to buy it?
Yeah. Yesterday, they were talking about how they'd planned this trip to Greenland and Greenland. I don't know which way should I say it. Greenland. That he was taking this trip to Greenland, and it was all big news. I didn't understand why. I mean, I know that we've talked about conquering it or whatever and sticking a flag in it, or Trump has. But now, yes, that is being talked about again. Trump wants to make sure everybody knows, yes, we want Greenland, and it seems like he's implying it's part of the reason the vice president and his wife are going there. They will not be going to any of the, I don't know how big the cities are in Greenland, but neither of the bigger cities are going to be going up north. This sort of, I saw them on the news this morning. I don't remember now, but they didn't sound familiar to me. You know, it's like Iceland. If you tell me one of those, I'm like, yeah, I can't say it, but it sounds sort of familiar. Yeah, Bjork. Is she from Greenland or Iceland?
I don't know.
It's hard to remember, right?
Where are those crazy lights?
I think that can be a lot of places. Oh. Probably Greenland.
I thought Iceland had crazy lights, maybe. But
the northern lights?
Yeah, where are those?
I think you can see them like in Alaska.
Isn't there some sort of lake, though?
Oh, that I don't know. Oh, okay, maybe. Yeah, so you got something that I'm not familiar with it. But Trump's like, yes, we will be conquering Greenland. So just, you know, don't forget about that. I haven't forgot about it. We're going to take it. Meanwhile, J.D. Vance and his wife are going to some military outpost that the United States has held in Greenland forever, where they watch out. They sit there, and they watch out for Russian nukes and Chinese
nukes.
This
morning in the capital of Greenland, the Arctic cold shoulder.
Greenland.
A new trip at the center of the diplomatic fallout over President Trump's push to take over the territory.
when Vice President J.D. Vance and Second Lady Usha Vance arrive tomorrow with a U.S. delegation, including National Security Advisor Mike Waltz, they will not set foot here in Nuuk or any other Greenlandic cities. Instead, flying straight to the remote northwest to Bidufik Space Base to visit with U.S. military personnel.
There you go. So they're going to meet with military personnel, and I'm sure talk about, you know, their plan to, like, hey, now pretty soon you guys are going to start moving south and just start planting the flag. You know, you're going to declare yourself president. This guy's going to declare himself mayor. Whatever. I don't understand this whole transaction. I've heard different stories about it, like that. The original story probably coming from people left of center saying, "Oh, you know, great, you've got this leader of the free world who's just talking about, oh, we're going to take over some country without their input at all. You know, they don't want you to take over the country."
Well,
and I've heard other people say,
"But you got to take it."
Right. And I've heard other people say, "Well, the Dutch already own it or whatever."
Yeah.
And so this would be more of like a "we're going to buy it from them" sort of thing. And then I'm like, "Oh, well, if it's for sale, I mean,
right."
And if the people who live there are already under Dutch rule, then, you know,
I mean, but it's not for sale, is it?
I don't think so. No, I think that was
pretty.
Exactly. It could be. I don't know how far right of center you have to be the person saying, like, yeah, you basically buy it from the Dutch, you know.
Well, I'll tell you a story. It. There's a place outside of Detroit where I grew up called the Irish Hills, and they have this great lake. And, you know, it's not one of the great lakes, but a cool lake, and people go there, right?
Okay.
We were driving around at one time, and my grandfather went up to a house and was like, "How much for your house?"
Okay.
And the guy was like, "It's not for sale." And my grandfather was like, "I'll give you this much." And the guy said, "Sold."
Done.
Yes. And he bought it. So maybe that's the same thing as Greenland.
Everything's for sale.
Right.
That's right.
He's like, "Hey, I want Greenland." And they're like, "No, it's not for sale."
And yeah.
Like, "Well, I'll give you this much for it." So maybe, you know, right?
Yeah. Oh, this says, I got that wrong. This says the Danish own Greenland. See,
aren't they the same thing?
No. I think the Dutch is like Amsterdam and the Netherlands. And then the Danish are like, you know, the soccer player and
well, where the hell are the Danish from? The Netherlands, right?
They're from Denmark. Denmark makes you Danish. I know it's confusing. The Netherlands is the most confusing because you're Dutch. You live in the Netherlands, but it's, you know, Amsterdam. There's no, like, Dutch land.
You know what? That's confusing. Just take it.
It's Denmark. We can take it from them.
It's confusing.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. I don't know now if the Netherlands own it or Denmark owns it.
I think that Denmark is known right now for Ozempic. I think that's the country that created these drugs. So, you know, they got a lot of money right now.
Take those, too.
We should be taking those. Absolutely.
The Church of Laszlo.
Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51,
and the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo!
Yo! Okay. Well, you've got a laptop in front of you. Go ahead and just Google this. Actually, I've already Googled it for you. But if you're sitting at home, don't do this if you're driving. They tell me to tell you that. Just look up Illinois teacher soccer coach. You will see a bunch of news stories pop up. Now, a lot of them will only have a mugshot, which you still get a pretty good idea. But others will have pictures that she probably posted to social media. She's married. She's a special ed teacher. And she's a soccer coach. I think it's a suburb of Chicago. This is her. Laszlo's 30 years old. I still think 30 is too young to be teaching high school kids, especially if you're this hot.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you think that's good? I mean, that's like her, "Hey, I'm out having mimosas with the girls." Look at her with no makeup standing next to what I presume is, I don't know, her husband or brother or something. Can you see her?
Yeah.
Zoom in on
Who's that
for
guy?
You. It might be her husband. I don't know.
Is he a professional baseball player?
I don't know. What's he wearing? This is the first time I've seen this picture.
He plays for the Cougars.
Yeah. Well, dude, how perfect. She's married to her college sweetheart. She met him while studying at Concordia University.
Well, that must be it.
Yep. So he's a Concordia Cougar. Never miss a game.
Player, yeah.
So I probably know him. Anyhow, she is accused in these court documents of assaulting, raping, sexual contact with the 15-year-old student. They claim they had. Yeah, it was in that way. The student's mother found the disturbing messages.
Who do people Google when they can?
Yeah.
Her name, so you can see pictures of her?
All you got to Google is Illinois teacher soccer coach. I mean, Illinois teacher, you know, gets you there eventually, but just type in Illinois teacher soccer coach and all the stories will pop up and you can see pictures of her.
Sweet Christ.
Yeah. She's
this is maybe, I mean, there's
one of the hottest one was that chick here locally in Kansas, although wherever she was, Overland Park. And even we interviewed that guy from Ranker and they put her on their hottest teacher.
But this girl's hotter.
She was number one. No, Lazo. She's very hot. But I think that local girl that made it to number one was slightly hotter.
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, look, it's, you know.
No.
It's your decision. You know, it's all subjective. You're not supposed to argue about what's funny or what's sexy because they're both too subjective. But I think we can all agree that by normal standards, societal standards, this woman is very pretty, right? I mean, if we're doing on a scale of 1 to 10 for a 30-year-old, she's a 10. If we're doing scale of 1 to 10 really for any 30-year-old woman, she's a 8 or a 9, right? I mean, she's...
Oh, yeah.
She's up there. If you're doing teachers, she's a 12.
She played volleyball, I guess? You see a picture of her in college?
I didn't see a picture of her playing volleyball. I would like to see a picture of her playing volleyball, but I'll...
I have one here for you.
I'll take a look here a little bit later. But I'm a little concerned because the student's mother found these messages when she logged into her son's iCloud account because she got him a phone. And it sounds to me like the mom's kind of keeping an eye on who he's talking to, like what you do as a parent, right? You keep an eye on what's going on. I don't know what you would do if you saw disturbing messages, if you would call them disturbing messages. If you saw messages from this woman to your oldest son, I don't know what you would do.
What are the messages?
I don't know exactly what the messages are, but I do know, like I said, they said she had an inappropriate relationship that started when the student had stayed after school for a tutoring session. So this is like a porno.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, and I'm not trying to downplay this, is like... If you go to Pornhub, and then the kid stays after for tutoring. That's what happens. And she confessed to police that she cared too much about the student, but she claimed that he broke into her phone and sent text messages as blackmail. So she's saying, I didn't do this. I did allow myself to get too close to him and care about him too much. But just look at her. Did you see her mugshot? Have you seen this picture?
Yeah, I have.
Because when you look that good in your mugshot, you know. Right? I've seen a lot of female teachers' mugshots, and this woman is up there.
These are some really disturbing allegations. A teacher at Downers Grove South High School, who is also a soccer coach, is now facing sex abuse charges.
Well, she might have been soccer.
Christina Formella is accused of assaulting a 15-year-old boy, allegedly inside a classroom.
Okay, so is this the picture that you were talking about, though, where she's in that jersey?
Yeah. I just assumed it was volleyball because all hot chicks play volleyball.
It seems that way, right? Yeah. Seems that way. I don't have a lot of full body shots, though, so, you know, sometimes you can tell. Anyway, she claimed that the boy grabbed her phone when it was unattended, entered her passcode, sent these messages.
How do you know her passcode?
Sent these because she allowed herself to get too close to this boy.
Oh, here's my passcode.
He was watching her, right?
I'll watch you
type in that code. Sent her the messages on his phone, to his phone. He then deleted the messages from her phone, so she says, and saved the messages on his phone so that he could use this as blackmail. Now, look, this is possible. Is it plausible? I don't know. If this story happened in 1998, I would say this dude was blackmailing her. If we had smartphones back then, because I never saw stories about hot teachers sleeping with students or, raping students, whatever. I never saw that. Now we see it all the time, so my default is to say she's probably making stuff up.
She said everybody comes for me because I'm good looking.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
I don't necessarily believe her.
Prosecutors said the allegations are very disturbing.
I don't necessarily believe her.
I mean, what the
But
messages.
If that dude didn't, that 15-year-old guy, next level. So he's like, I'm going to get your phone, send dirty messages to my phone, and if you don't do dirty stuff to me, I'll turn it into the cops.
Yeah. Or if you don't give me an A, I don't know what he wanted, right? Like
both.
But yeah, probably.
Well, while we're here.
Yeah, while we're here, let's take care of both. That's going to be an A, and I'm ready again. You know? Look, we're not supposed to talk like that, because it is rape. He is half her age. You would be pissed if it happened to your 15-year-old kid. We joke, but you would be, right? You'd be pissed. Like, extremely upset. Extremely upset that someone took advantage of that. Because you have to trust when you put your kids in school that they are going to care for them and provide for them.
Of course.
And if you think that...
Well, of course, plus it's an abuse of power.
It's a total abuse of power.
And you don't know what kind of... mark that leaves
on. No, Rolling Stone did a whole expose where they followed these guys. They talked to these guys whom it happened to years earlier. And these guys said it totally messed them up. They were too young. They didn't know what love was. They thought this was like their one and only. They couldn't get over it. It was a pretty similar sentiment from a lot of guys who had it happen when they were younger.
15, 16-year-old kids should do it the way the rest of us did. With, you know,
someone their age?
Other ugly 15, 16-year-olds, right? I mean,
yes, that's
how we know we've all come through it together.
Yes.
Right?
And also, if you don't, because this stuff happens so often, I've said this many times, this hot 30-year-old cannot be a high school teacher. She cannot be tutoring kids by herself. I'm sorry that the world isn't totally fair, but it's not.
I get it.
You need to be a first-grade teacher.
Look,
until you're older and uglier.
It's hard for you to complain that, you know, you're too hot.
Exactly.
It's like, I can't be a basketball player. I'm too short.
Right.
You're too hot.
You're too hot and too young. Now, when you get older, if you're like, all I ever want to do is teach high school kids, well, wait till you're in your 40s or 50s, okay? Because then it won't be so, you know, distracting. But that's right true. Now, you become a first-grade teacher because those kids, you know, aren't thinking
they
about that.
They might do that, actually.
Dude, oh, my first grade teachers were all hot.
I haven't been in my kids' school in a long time. Now they're older. I don't go to the parent-teacher conferences anymore. Well, I think, like, when I drive up, the teachers in the high school don't seem as attractive as the ones that were in the elementary school.
I'm sure that's by design.
Yeah.
No, that happened to me, too, though. All of the teachers at my school.
The teachers in the elementary school, I was like, my God.
Yeah.
All of these women are beautiful.
Absolutely.
Right?
I think in my first grade
80% of them.
My first grade year.
Then in the other ones, you're like, well, you were beautiful. You're just old now.
Exactly. That's
right?
They teach English.
Stunning women.
They teach English.
Right.
And, you know, whatever.
But now I think, like, if I drive by a school, I'm not like, oh, look at all these nice-looking ladies.
No, but pull up. Do you have any of your old yearbooks from when you were in kindergarten, first grade?
Yeah. I told you.
But even back then, didn't have young teachers?
No, my first. No, none.
Not even when you're
I
little.
Had Miss Janotik.
Okay.
She was like a 90-year-old woman from Sweden.
And that's how she wanted you to say it?
Yeah, that's how you did it every day.
Janotik?
Like, my name is Janotik. And we all had to say it.
Why can't I call you Ya? You know, something short.
That's how she told us.
Okay.
I still remember to this day. And I'm just like, God, you're old and ugly.
Yeah, man.
I hate you.
What about the other teachers in first grade?
She's like a librarian, too.
What about the other teachers in your school?
Dewey Decimal System.
None of the other classes had hot teachers, though?
Nobody, man.
I'm going to bring my yearbook in tomorrow. I'm going to find my first grade yearbook.
Mrs. Eiserman, she literally weighed 400 pounds.
We had one of those.
Mr. Good, he stuck his hands on his pants all the time, so people made fun of him.
Was he the one that taught you sex ed in elementary school?
No, I will say that was a guy like in the eighth grade, and he was a little bit younger than some of the other guys, and he taught like consumer math, maybe. And I know like the girls were like, oh, that guy's hot.
We had Mr. Surface, and he was like a sneakerhead.
Yeah.
He was young. He was good-looking. He was real laid-back. He was an art teacher. Girls loved him.
Mm-hmm.
He was very cool. He's the guy that caught me doing the underhand masturbation Olympic thing. And then we had I don't remember this other guy's name. He was a real dickhead, but in high school, we had a guy who taught, I don't know, psychiatry or something, philosophy. Anyhow, he was young, and the girls loved him. Looking back, you know, I don't remember. I don't think about the guys that the girls liked, but they probably were sleeping with him. Good thing
I managed a band later in life, and two of the guys in the band were school teachers.
What was he teaching? Like high school?
I think one of them taught English, and the other one taught, like, I don't know,
high school.
Poetry or something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure girls were into them.
I asked them. I said, the girls said, I don't know, I guess, sometimes. But they never, like, you know.
Well, I just, for the record, Mr. Surface, that was junior high. I don't think anything's happening there other than the girls like, he's cute. But when you get into high school and you got a bunch of girls calling you hot, I'm sure that happens too. The media just, that's not a headline you splash
everywhere.
We just
had like old people, drunks, handicapped teachers, you know, wheelchairs and missing hands. I don't know, like a science fiction book I grew up in. Doc Golding, that giant ass just sticking out.
Maybe that was all intentional, and then they got a little more lax with the rules over the years, and that's why we have all these problems.
Maybe I went to some sort of special school. My parents didn't tell me. I mean, I dropped out. Maybe they were like, this is where, look at these teachers and look at these kids.
Well, this teacher that we were just talking about, she taught special schools. So, I don't know. I think it's a different time. I think teachers have gotten hotter, and that's just, you know, we have to live in that world, so now we have to work within that world, which means you need to go teach first grade.
The Church of Laszlo.
When you were a little boy, I don't know, you know, I assume you were a little boy. I didn't actually know you. When I met you, you were already a grown man. But at some point, I assume you were a little boy.
I was born like this.
Well, see, I was worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were a little boy, try to imagine being a little boy, sitting in that house in Michigan. And at nighttime, I don't know, your sister, I don't know what your house was set up like, So I don't know if your sister was close or, you know, like if she's in the bedroom next to you, or if you were kind of like an only child.
There was like a bathroom between us.
Okay, that's how my house was set up, except there was no one in that other bedroom. So there was a shared bathroom and then an empty bedroom over there. But when you were little, did you get scared of the dark? Did you get scared that you heard something? Did you need your parents' help?
Everybody.
You don't remember like a specific incident that happened?
No. Oh. And I don't remember being like, I'm sure I slept with the light on. Or I remember saying when I was little, like, can you leave the hall light on?
Yeah.
So they would leave the hall light on, you know, but other than
that, something,
no, not
something
really.
Was going through your mind. Well, just hard to remember.
It was funny because when Chacho was little, I was like, he wasn't that old. He was like, you know, 6 or 7, maybe, you know? And I was like, wait, are you still scared of the dark? He's not scared of the dark. I'm scared of what's in the dark.
Right.
I can't see it.
Good point. Yes.
And I'm like, oh, it really kind of clicked with me. I'm like, oh, that's why we're all scared of the dark.
All mammals are, right.
Right.
Supposed to be scared of the dark. When I was little.
You know, for me, I've always thought it was like, you know, I'm scared of the dark
like
because of scary things. You know what I mean? Like scary movies or whatever. But
that
he's like, no,
help.
I can't see.
Right.
I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that makes sense. So there could be somebody there.
Right.
Like, all right. But if you have the light on, I'm okay. I'm like, all right.
Or even just an obstruction in my way. I don't want to stub my toes. When I was a kid, there was two things that happened. One was I was awake. I mean, you know, I don't know how to explain this stuff. But there was a voice as I was in bed. I wasn't asleep. It's very dark in my room. And from the door to the shared bathroom, I heard a voice go, Raid. I'm watching you. That's what it sounded like. So I panic because I'm like, even though logically I know it's my brother, it's still, am I sure it's my brother, right? I don't remember how old I was, probably maybe 6, something like that. And I come running out of the bedroom and I run to my mom and I'm like, Mom, Josh is trying to scare me, blah, blah, blah. Josh wasn't home. So
it was your mom.
So it was my mom probably trying to scare me. Or I was
weird, man.
Half asleep, half awake. But then,
well, I mean, you heard it. So if it was only you and your mom, it was your mom trying to freak you out.
Yeah, it's weird. But the fact also,
I mean, you don't want to think that your mom would do that. But look, parents aren't perfect.
She's bored, right? She's like, I have these kids so spread out. Just, you know, I'm tired of it. I need something to do. I can't.
Plus,
go out
you're
and
probably
drink.
Being a jerk that day. She's like, I'll show him.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll I'll be make tired him scared. Tomorrow.
Yeah, he always thinks he's so tough. He says he's not scared of anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not scared of anything, Mom. I'm not scared of the dark. She's like, I'll show him.
Mm-hmm.
One time, my dad and I, we got home. Well, my family got home from Lee Summit days. They used to call it Cole Younger days, but he got.
I've been there.
You have? You been?
You made me go. Remember, I took my kids?
To Lee Summit. You went to Santa Caligon days.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's the big one in Independence, yeah.
Yeah.
Cole Younger days.
You were like, go to that.
Yeah.
We went.
And your kid said this is the perfect carnival, wasn't it? I don't remember exactly.
I told my kids we were going to the carnival.
It's the biggest one.
And we, well,
how old was he? He was probably like 4.
Chacho probably wasn't even alive
no,
yet,
I don't
maybe.
Think he was.
And so we went, and I'm like, we're going to a carnival. And then we get out at your thing, whatever it was called.
Santa Caligon.
And we took 2 steps in, and Yero looks at me and goes, not this carnival. And I'm like, I think you're right, man. Not this carnival. That was his exact words when he looked in there.
I know. I do remember. It's a lie. I remember exactly. I remember the whole thing. Got it. Not this carnival, Dad. Not this carnival. I remember, and I was like, okay, great. Well, no more recommendations from me. But we...
Not this carnival.
My family got
just ICP pants everywhere. He's like, oh, no, there's a hatchet man.
There's nothing
man
wrong with that. You need... That's diversity, right?
I guess.
But my dad and I, my family got home from Lee Summit days, and we walked upstairs. We went to turn on the lights, but first we walked into my bedroom, and we opened the blinds in the back of my bedroom. So you have to walk through the door to the back of the room. And I was opening the blinds because there was something out the window that I wanted to see. And as I open the blinds, we hear this. And my
there's
dad and I both are like, there's a cat, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
again, it was your mother?
we thought it was our cat. But then we go looking for the cat. The cat's outside. So those are the two things that I couldn't explain that really scared me. So I continue to be a little bit scared.
Well, now when I say that it's your mom, does it start to...
I mean, the thought had already crossed my mind, for sure. If I can
do this voice,
yeah. And she probably can, too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, I'm going to give you more reasons to actually be scared of the dark in a second.
Okay. The Church of Laszlo.
You ever heard of Great Bend, Kansas? I'm not from Kansas.
Yeah.
I have heard of that.
Where
me
is
too.
It? I looked
no,
at it on a map earlier.
I've heard,
now.
I've heard of Great Bend, but that could be like another Great Bend.
National Park
I've been
or something.
To Big
yeah.
Bend.
Is there
National
a Great Bend?
There's Big Bend.
There's Big Bend in Texas.
I feel like there's a Great Bend something, too.
There could be. This says Great Bend, Kansas.
I don't know why I've heard of it, but I have.
So this happened day before yesterday, I think, or Monday night. And there's a kid, and he's staying with the babysitter in Great Bend, Kansas. Well, his parents are out, I presume. And he's in bed, right? It's dark, I would expect.
Babysitter
going to sleep.
Out?
I've not seen The Babysitter. The kid...
This isn't like the story you were talking about earlier.
No, this is a story that we like what we were just talking about a couple of minutes ago.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Yeah. And this kid, he gets scared, you know. He thinks he hears something. And so he goes, he jumps up, just like we did when we were kids. Lazo didn't because he wasn't scared. But just like most kids, he jumped up, ran to get the babysitter, and said, hey, you know, I'm scared. There's a monster under my bed. What does a babysitter do when you tell him there's a monster under your bed? If it's Snow Cone's babysitter, they put you in a leotard and call you names. Mm-hmm. But most babysitters or parents probably would do the same thing, right? And they do it in the movies. There's a monster under my bed. You go in, you show them that there's no monster under the bed, right?
The Barton County Sheriff's Office says the incident happened around 10:30 Monday night. A woman babysitting says one of the children complained there was a monster under the bed. When the woman attempted to show the child there was nothing under the bed, she came face to face with a man who was hiding there.
A man. There was a man under this kid's bed. As a matter of fact, I've got a picture of the man.
Dude.
This man was under the kid's bed.
Oh.
So when he said, there's a monster under my bed, now imagine the babysitter going to say,
it's probably the babysitter's boyfriend.
Let me, we're going to go in there.
Does
I'll
the
show
babysitter
you.
Know him?
No, not that they said. Hey, we'll go in there and show you that there's no monster under the bed. You lift up that bed curtain or whatever those things are called.
There's a dude in there.
And there's that dude, that bearded, mustachioed dude, staring back at you. So apparently he jumps out from under the bed. Okay, now, I mean, at this point, you're like disassociating, right? This isn't real. What is happening? Right. Is this kid playing a prank on me? How did this guy get here? What am I about to get killed? I mean, sure. That would be terrifying. They get into a little bit of a scuffle.
The babysitter and him?
Yes. Luckily, he just knocks her down to get her out of the way, and he runs out of the house.
Why was he in there?
And that's a very, very good question.
Did they catch him?
Eventually, they did. She tells the police, hey, you know, there was a monster under this kid's bed.
Right.
Seriously. And so the police are like, all right, we're going to go back there and look. They look around, and apparently, eventually, this guy, there's got to be something wrong with him. He's a 27-year-old man named Martin. Apparently, they found him hanging out by the house again later, and they picked him up. And I guess the babysitter's like, yeah, that's him. Yeah. So, like, what was he doing there? You know, that's
let's know the babysitter somehow.
That's my thing. You think things like a guy
no,
that's
no,
into
I
her?
I don't see she's into it. I'm saying
no, he might be into her, like stalking her.
Yeah, like he's stalking her or something. Like, I feel like, you know, why else?
Yeah. It says, so the day after, so he fled, the monster under the bed was on a Monday night. Tuesday, deputy said that they found him near the house again. They said that he then attempted to flee again, but he was captured after a short foot pursuit. He was arrested, transported to the county jail there, booked on requested charges of aggravated kidnapping. Is that just under the bed? That's kidnapping? Aggravated burglary, aggravated battery, child endangerment, felony obstruction of a law enforcement officer, and violation of a protection from abuse order. So has this guy been stalking her?
Yeah, well, I mean, he violated some sort of...
Right. So it's got to be someone
well,
in the house.
She must have known him already.
That's my thing. Is like someone, if he's violating this protection from abuse order, I assume that means that you violated against a person who's filed this complaint, right? That's like having a restraining order, right?
I would think so.
It's not just that, oh, now you've harassed someone else, so you... She had to know him. This guy's got to be... Maybe when she lifted that bed curtain, she saw him, and she's like, oh, my God. He made it into the house.
Yeah.
And how did he get into the house? You know,
but wouldn't she, if she called the cops, wouldn't they not have to wait for him to come back? Wouldn't they just know who he is and go get him?
Well, that's true.
I'm
she recognized
him. Great Bend isn't a big place.
Yeah, if she had a restraining order against
him. Was in Manhattan and took off running.
Right. Well, I thought it's possible that he could have had a restraining order from one of the parents. Maybe it's, but I don't know. I mean, that thing that says violation of protection from abuse order made me think that someone there, he's stalking.
Yeah, I would think.
But you're right. She would have said, hey, I saw him. It was Martin.
And that would be part of the story.
Yeah, she would have said that. So I guess, you know, they go looking for this guy and they find him the next day hanging out by the house. I mean, he's hanging out by the house again. At least that's what they made it sound like. They found him in the area of the residence. That could be a lot of things, I suppose. But on the whatever local news, I think it was Wichita News I was watching this morning.
Is that where Great Bend is?
They made it. It must be closer than we are here. But they made it sound like he was, you know, right up against the house again. I don't know. But
so what would you do if you looked under your bed in Arizona?
And there's a dude there?
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's hard to say. I would probably full protection mode.
And
I would totally
I know, so
dominate this
do
guy. I would dominate him. No, that's Snow Cone. That's what he did as a bouncer, remember? No, I would. I'd be. You know, look, I got to protect my.
Like,
king.
Sir, I know what you're here for, but I'm guessing this is somewhere close to it.
If he was under my bed, I'd shoot him. If I'm being honest, because there's a gun sitting right there, I'd shoot him.
What if he had the gun?
If you had the gun, yeah, we got a serious problem mm-hmm. for sure. And you know, that happens a lot. So,
be careful.
I would run. I'm telling you, though, even as a doll, I'm willing to admit.
I'd throw the kid at him. Like, is this what you want? This kid? I'm just a babysitter.
Yeah, if I was the babysitter, for sure. For sure.
Get like $9 an hour here.
Definitely trade the
kid.
Not
to fight you. Take the kid.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm with you there. No babysitter should fight for those kids. Yeah. No, you're just getting paid a measly hourly wage or whatever. No health insurance. It's not a real job. You know, you just feel like it's some sort of rite of passage as a girl.
Right, I'm a babysitter.
Just trade the kids. Absolutely. Your life is more valuable.
Not a bodyguard. They're not paying me to be a bodyguard.
Exactly.
Especially totally if the parents are the ones with this
stalker
warning thing out. You should have told me.
Right, like, why is he there? I would need to search, like, Facebook and see what locals in Great Bend, Kansas?
That's right.
See what people on Facebook pages there are saying about this guy. Because I'm sure they're all talking now and they'll know who this guy is. But honestly, if you woke up in the middle of the night, you thought you heard something, and you looked under your bed to see if there was like a rodent or something, a flashlight rolling across the floor, and you see a dude there, what would you do?
I'd fight him.
You wouldn't just get up and run?
Well, maybe to the other room to get a bat or a gun or something.
You wouldn't run out of the house? I'd run out of the house, I think, and knock on a neighbor's door. Say, call 911. There's a guy in my house.
I get it. It's fight or flight. I feel like my initial reaction would be to fight, I think.
I'm always flight. Flight, flight, flight. Always. Make me a bird so I can fly far, far away.
We got the kid there.
Well, yeah, if there's a kid there.
You can't leave the kid.
No, if I'm there with my fiancé.
The kid back there with you.
Then I got to say, I got to wake her up and, you know, get her to run.
If you're there with your fiancé, it's your fiancé having an affair, and they want you to run away.
Well, that's true. That's true. If she doesn't run with me, then I know. I'm like, okay, I know what's going on.
She's like, he's got a problem.
Yeah. But look, I'm an adult now, and I'm just being honest. When we, it's nice out right now, right?
Yeah.
It's, what month is this? August, September, March. And so we got the windows open at night.
Yeah.
And when I lay down in bed at night, I think about, should I close those windows in the living room and lock them? And I would say 60, 70% of the time, I work myself up and I get up out of bed and I go close all those windows and lock them. Because I just start to imagine someone coming through a window in the middle of the night. I think about
like
that.
Like Melissa Etheridge.
Yeah, exactly. But except she wanted it, right?
Well, I don't know.
I don't want it. Well, based on her tone,
yeah,
come through my window. Yeah, it wasn't like you came through my...
Right.
It sounded like she wanted it.
Yeah, you're right.
So...
I'll be home alone.
Yeah. And the intruder was the bare naked ladies breaking into the old apartment or whatever. But some houses have bars on the windows depending on the neighborhood, right? My fiance said many times, she's like, I wish all houses had bars on the window. I think they should all have bars. Mm. And I'm like, you know, that's probably not a bad idea. Especially if you had kids. I don't have kids. You guys have kids. But did you ever, you know, lay in bed at night and think, I got my kids here. I got to protect them. Is this house safe? Are all the doors locked up? Does that ever run through your mind?
No.
I mean, I used to sleep with the front door unlocked. For years.
Well, I don't want to say that I do, but...
I know. I used to for years.
Yeah.
That's why I say I used to. I just thought... And my brothers, like my family, they come visit, and they'd see me walk in and out of the house, and they're like, you're not locking the door.
My mother comes to visit, and like even for inside, she's like, lock the door.
That's what my family
says. And she's like, lock the door at night or whatever. I'm like...
Who cares?
We're here.
If someone wants to get in... Right,
well,
we're here.
Lock the door when I'm not here. I get that, because
sometimes.
Then people could steal stuff.
Right.
I understand the idea behind it, but I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to come take you.
That's my thing. How many break-ins happen when someone's home?
Not many.
What do they call that? A hot prowl? Is that when somebody's home?
Yeah, a hot pocket.
Hot prowl, I think. Hot prowler.
Louisiana hot pocket.
And look, I'll be honest. I'm not a pretty woman, so I don't have to worry about that as much.
You're not a pretty woman.
I think I am, actually.
I think you're kind of a handsome woman.
Definitely an unattractive woman. But I could see a single female... You know,
breaking through your window?
No, being scared to go to bed at night.
Oh,
with
of course.
The, you know
well,
what
I'm
mean?
Not, but I'm not a single female.
I know. I'm saying it's different. I'm saying I recognize that it's different. So, but I still sometimes will, I don't know, get myself worked up and start thinking I'm hearing noises, and then I'll lock the door. But the whole locking the door, my whole thought process was always, one, I have a dog. I always have a dog. You don't have a dog, but I always have a dog.
Have a cat.
And that scares some people away.
What about my cat?
I don't know. Maybe your cat's pretty aggressive, so it might. But my other thought has always been, if someone wants into this house... They'll find a way to get into the house.
Well, maybe.
You can kick a door down so easily.
Yeah, but I feel like they probably, most people probably go up and if they try it, you know, trying the handles of parked cars. Like, you know, yes. You just kind of click it. You're like, oh, good. This one's open. I'm not going to break the window on a car, but if I try enough car handles, yeah. One of these is going to be open. I can steal the stuff inside it.
Yeah.
You know, kind of, I guess the same thing with houses. I just go to the front door, try it.
Have you ever had any stories about people going around your neighborhood and trying to check to see which houses would be good to break
but
into?
My Nextdoor app, not too long ago, that's I came up with a warning, and it said, you know, naked man running through my backyard.
Oh, well, that's not so bad.
I just assumed it was some drunk guy.
Right, or you, and you don't remember, because you were drunk.
I was reading it, so.
Yeah, right, the next day. You're like,
Mostly I get in my neighborhood, you know, this guy stole my Amazon stuff or something.
Sure,
you know,
people send packages. We had guys go door-to-door. And they it eventually showed up on Nextdoor or whatever. They were going door to door. They had red polo shirts, and they said they worked for some home security company. Ugh. And they were asking, as soon as he answered, hi, my name's whatever. We're here to ask you about your home security. I mean, how much more obvious can you get, right? And the thing is, these two guys have red polo shirts on, but you can tell they went to the thrift store and bought these. And one of them had, like, ripped the iZod logo off of it. They were slightly different shirts. So this isn't like a company uniform.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because they were both slightly different shades of red, slightly different shirts.
Sure.
They're asking about the home security. Now, I lied, because I used to have one of those stickers that the previous owner put, like, you know, Honeywell Security or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
And I said, yeah, but I had my dog at the time, and she's, like, growling and snarling at them, and I've got her by the collar, and I'm pulling back on her collar to try and make her angrier, so she's barking at him, and I was like, I have her. And he goes, I see that. He's like, okay, well, we're giving out a free alarm, but I guess you guys aren't interested. I said, no, and walked away. Like, 2 days later, the story was that seven houses on my street along, like, three blocks got broken into in the middle of the day. So I think they're going around to see who's home, and then obviously who has alarms.
Security, who's got a dog.
It's a good commercial for alarms, I guess, house alarms, because they were looking for them, and I'm guessing that they were trying to avoid them. Yeah, they broke into seven houses in one afternoon. That's pretty crazy. And I'm guessing a lot of those doors were just unlocked, right?
Yeah.
Probably didn't have to go through a window, because a lot of people don't lock their doors. You see all those shows.
Well, they're broken into seven houses in your neighborhood. I mean, how many big CRT TVs can one man take?
Okay. You know that my house is the cheapest on the street. There are nice houses on my street.
You said they had already went to the secondhand store, so they saw basically everything that was inside your house.
There are very nice houses a few blocks away, okay?
The Church of Laszlo. The Church of
Laszlo. Yo, all right, so what is it?
In all honesty, the Ruby Frankie thing, pretty disturbing. Like the fact that there are people like that.
Yeah.
And she's the recent one.
And the dad. Dude, you got no balls, man.
I don't understand the dad.
The dad was just like, if you haven't seen the documentary, it's worth watching. It's not great. But there's this lady, and she abuses the kids, and, you know. But
she's a very pretty, blonde Mormon mom who's giving, like, parenting advice.
And people love her.
Huge.
And then she makes, like, one mistake on YouTube and says, like, she made the kids sleep on a sleeping bag instead of a bed. And then people are like, you're a horrible mom. So she starts to feel the internet backlash for the first time. But at some point, she gets real mad at the husband and is just like, you need to leave, and you can't talk to me or the kids for a year. And the dude's like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? No.
And then later wanted our sympathy, you know, like testifying. So it's like, okay. I mean, look, I don't know exactly, but I've seen a lot of 2020 style things, news magazine stories about you.
Like, if your wife says, or by the way, ladies, if your husband says, get out of here. And if you want me back,
you're on punishment.
Don't talk to me or your children for a year. The answer is no.
No. I'll be back with the sheriff if I have to.
Right.
Yeah. And she, like what I was saying earlier, what's really disturbing is that.
Anyway, she goes on while he's gone for that year to abuse the kids and starve them and lock them in a basement.
And one of the kids eventually escapes, goes to like a neighbor's house, knocks on the door. There's actual, I think there's Ring door. There's some sort of camera video of that kid.
That's how it starts.
And, he's emaciated. Yeah. I think he's taped
duct
up a little
tape
bit.
On
still.
His feet or something.
Tape around his ankles and stuff.
Can you imagine a kid showing up to your door like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Snowcone doesn't by choice. He's an adult. He's an old man.
Right.
But if you had a kid show up at your door like that.
Well, man.
And then also, if you found out that it was your neighbor, some woman that lives next door, which is what this woman was doing. People liked her. She was getting checks for six-figure checks
a
month.
A lot.
She was massive. Massive, massive. And actually, HBO just did a documentary, too, about the couple that. They did, like, parenting stuff. Oh, we love our kids. Made a lot of money on YouTube. They adopted a kid from China. Did you see that?
No.
They adopted a kid from China, and then they basically decide he's too much work after a couple of years, and he just disappears.
Okay.
People are like, what happened to him? And like, oh, you know, it's really sad.
Back to China.
Couldn't take care of him. Yeah, it's disturbing, but the whole it's obvious that they're doing this to exploit these kids and make money. So Utah, because that's where Ruby Frankie was, Utah decided they're going to do something about it. I feel like they actually got it put together pretty quickly. And Snow Cone, you and I did say after watching that original Hulu documentary, like there needs to be some sort of child labor laws because these people, some it's not a lot of people, but there are dozens of people making real money exploiting their kids on YouTube.
More than dozens.
Putting them to work.
A lot of
I don't know how many people are getting those big fat checks a month, but there's lots.
Getting decent checks a month. There's a lot.
Making a living. I mean, the thing about the couple that adopted the kid from China, they interview a lot of other influencers that look like that's how they made their money, too. You know, so there are a lot of people who do it. But Utah says, no, we're going to do something about
Frankie's ex-husband testifying in support of the law.
Putting my children into public social media was wrong, and I regret it every day.
The new law requires parents who make more than $150,000 annually by putting their children online to set aside 15% in a trust for their kids. And it gives people the ability to scrub the internet of content that featured them when they were minors.
So what's interesting to me is that this internet, if you're making a lot of money, you got to save some of it for your kids. And then when they get older, they have to have the ability to get rid of this stuff forever, which I don't know how that's even possible. But
what are your thoughts on the 15%?
The whole thing kind of... I'm intrigued that they're trying to do something, but I'm surprised that they didn't say, basically, you got to follow child labor laws. If you're making money, these kids can't be working if they're under a certain age, and if you're making this amount of money and they're in videos this percentage of time, then that's work.
I feel like 15% is a start, but I feel like it's not enough. But it
depends on what the video is.
Yeah, if they're making
hundreds. You know what I mean? Like, and it depends on what they're using the kids for. If
that's
it's the kids,
thing.
Like it's all the kids.
Right.
Or it's like, hey, I'm talking and here's my kids in the park and they're playing.
Sure.
That was more Ruby Frankie's thing.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, the kids are on it, but it was more like her talking. It was a lot of it was her talking or talking to the kids. So
right.
I don't know what that number is. You know,
I'm not even sure that she would have.
Write it, the bill to say, like, you know, if the kid is featured in more than 30%.
That's what people had proposed in the past.
Yeah.
That I saw after watching that Hulu documentary. And my issue with this is if you're saying if you're using your kids to make money, well, like you said, Lazo, Ruby Frankie was a lot of her talking. So what if my kid shows up in the background? Does that count?
Right.
If I point the camera to my kid and say, hi, how you doing, buddy? And he's like, good.
Probably.
And then you go back to you. You're like, where do you draw that line? Is it just if the kids are in the video at all and you're getting $150,000, then, you know, you got to keep the kids out of the video if you don't want to put 15% aside or whatever.
Right. And I think it depends on what the kids do.
Yeah. I mean, look.
You know, look, there's some, I've seen videos where the kids are in a band.
Yeah.
And they're playing, and the dad's filming, and the dad stands to the left and plays bass with them. You know what I mean? Like, well, those kids are working more.
Yeah.
You know, than other kids.
Yes, for sure. And they might not like it.
In California, they already have it. Like, if you're a minor, there's some law named after an actress where if you get, like, say you get a recording deal and you're, like, 15 or 16, that money goes into this Sandra something account. And parents can't touch it.
Yeah, that was the Macaulay Culkin thing, right? Back in the day.
It was named after a woman in the 60s.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, I remember that becoming an issue with Macaulay Culkin when he was a kid. He's like the biggest movie star in the world. He had that fallout with his dad, or both of his parents can't remember. And they said, no, there's this law. We're going to make it so you got to put this much money aside.
I think you have to put all of it.
Okay, I don't remember. But yeah, like a lot of child actors and sitcoms and stuff.
Yeah, but it's probably not in every state, obviously.
Yeah, but.
I mean, California set up
that. Was
more
where
for
they
that,
were filming everything.
I mean? Right, yeah.
So maybe,
but now that you can film stuff anywhere and put on YouTube and make hundreds of thousands of dollars.
That's just it.
Right? Like, I guess I'm just saying, I think California probably has laws for that already.
Yeah, sure.
Like, it's probably already on the book. So it's like, you know, like of course. They have entertainment lawyers everywhere. And when you're in Utah, you're like, Google's just like, we'll just send them this address. That's what they
say. That's what they do. That's what they do. That's what they did in the Ruby Frankie thing. It's what they do in all those documentaries. They're just getting a check from Google. They get a little plaque that says you're a YouTube star or whatever that they put on their desk. To show that they're big shots, and they make money posting videos to YouTube. I mean, look.
But then looking at it the other way, too, you know, it's interesting. Like, the Paul brothers, they were younger. I don't know. I mean, I watched the documentaries on them, but it didn't feel like the dad took money.
No.
Right? So they did all the work, and they got all the money.
It felt like they were doing it because they wanted to.
Right. But also, I'm saying, like, the dad, you know, the kids get 15%. Well, if those kids got all of it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, there could be a thing where the dad's like, hey, it's in my house, using my computer, you owe me this much money.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, so I don't know what, how that split would work.
Yeah, like if they took it to court or something and said, hey, these kids didn't pay me any money, I'm the adult in the house.
Right, and I allowed them to do it, and it's my
internet.
My internet, my computer.
Yeah, my phone.
I bought the video camera, right?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure something like that has had to have come up at some point. But I know people, you don't want to like say, well, let's create new agencies or anything like that. But maybe the agencies that exist, like social services, is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, maybe when they see that someone is viral on the internet and that there are kids around, that they check on them. It's like, hey, we're here to check on you. And because you're making money with all these kids, which is, I mean, really, probably work. There's a very good chance that these kids, some of them, don't want to do this. They're not all being locked into closets, but the fact that that's happened multiple times already scares me, because it means that there's plenty of sociopathic people out there that see dollar signs when they see these kids and just want to exploit them. So if you're going to make money on YouTube or the internet, wherever, then it would be nice if social services say, hey, you know? If you want to keep doing this,
how do you do it? You know,
add that to the law. If you're making $100,000 or whatever it is, $150
sounded like a lot. Like, I mean, the kids. If they're making $100, the kids don't get anything.
Right. I know.
You know what I mean? Like that. I thought it would just be 15% off the top.
Yeah.
Which is what I would do. If you're making $10, they get 15% of it.
Right. No.
You make $10 million, and they get 15% of it.
I did think that's weird too. Like, no, it's only for people that are doing really well. Like, what if I'm making $130?
Right.
That's pretty damn good.
$480, the kid gets nothing. Like,
right. I'm making a living. I'm making a good living off my kids.
And some of that money should go into an account for them, I would think.
Yeah. But I think also, just because I've seen multiple documentaries with these kids being exploited and abused, I wish there was a way for social services to come around and say, hey, if you want to do this, you want to keep making money. Because if you go to Hollywood, like you said, if you act, there's unions, there's people protecting you. Your kid, you can only work this many hours. There's no one protecting those kids from working too many hours on YouTube. So maybe someone could say, hey, we're here to check on you. And you interview the kids separately, you know, and make sure that they at least say that everything's okay and that it looks like everything's okay. I mean, you shouldn't have to, but the fact that it's happened quite a few times now is concerning.
Yeah, I just don't know who's in charge of that. I don't know if Child Protective Services needs to get into it. You know.
But do you create a new agency?
But I don't know if you have to, but maybe if you make like over a certain amount of money on YouTube, you have to sign up for the Actors Guild or something.
Right.
Right? Like, you know, I don't know.
Right. I know. I like the idea. Like, you're
something
getting
along
something.
That. Right. So now there's some oversight.
There should be a
oversight.
Union that can come along and say, hey, do you want to join or whatever? I like that idea. But I just don't know.
The kids have to join. If you're under 18, you have to join.
Yeah. So that there's some protection.
Right.
I don't know, something. It's just one of those things that I never thought about at all. If I saw those videos of kids and that someone said, this family's making $10 million a year, and I take a quick look at the video, I assumed, oh, those kids are having fun. Looks like they're having fun.
Yeah.
What, they're living the dream. This family's making money doing YouTube. Cool. And then it's like, no, hey, guys, what's been going on for a long time that we didn't know is a lot of these parents are abusing and exploiting these kids. Some of them are even adopting kids and being foster parents to kids just so that they can exploit them.
Yeah, but what I don't understand about that whole Ruby Frankie thing, it doesn't matter. We're just talking about, why are you starving them and stuff?
Exactly.
Like, I know she was crazy and thought the devil and all that other stuff, but, like, you're making millions of dollars with these kids.
Yeah.
Why are you sticking them in the basement?
She's a psychopathic narcissist,
right. And
for
I know,
sure.
But then you hear about these other people, and they're doing kind of the same thing. You're like, what?
Right.
Why you, too? Like, if me and my kids were on YouTube and we were making millions of dollars, I'd be, like, so cool to them.
Of course.
I'd be like, you guys can have whatever you want.
Yeah.
Not 15%.
My golden goose.
Hey, right. What do you got? Right.
Right. But I think maybe
even if I was crazy and a psychopathic narcissist, I think I'd still pull it together enough to be like, you starving in the basement doesn't make me any more money.
Right, right.
I need you to be happy. And so I can either beat you into happiness, but it feels like in front of the camera that's only going to last for so long, or I can literally kiss your ass when these cameras are off, give you everything you want, spoil you, let you be brats, and then tell you like, hey, in order to keep getting this stuff, let's just pretend like we're going to church and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm sure your kids would be like, yeah.
Yeah, that's a logical thing.
Right.
If you were a logical psychopath. But now let's add sadistic. She's a sadistic.
Right.
Right? Psychopathic narcissist. So she obviously enjoyed it. And and I just wonder, it's like, why are there multiple priests in the Catholic Church that are touching kids?
No,
well,
not.
The position must attract them. And so if there's multiple adults on YouTube exploiting kids, it must attract these types of people.
Maybe, are they like, well, I don't know.
They're like, you know, narcissists or whatever, yeah, and they
you
think,
know
I'll make
you're
myself
doing
famous.
It.
Yeah. The sadistic part is the part I'm with you that gets me. There are a lot of psychopaths who never go to prison, never get in any trouble.
Right.
They follow the rules, and sometimes when they laugh, you go, "Is he really laughing? I don't think he's really laughing."
Right. And but if I got my kids locked up in the basement, I think I'm at again. You know, you're just being logical because I'm like, if I had my kids locked up in the basement, and I beat the hell out of them. The last thing I'm gonna do is turn on a video camera.
I know, it's so bizarre.
But, you know, I guess I'm you know,
so bizarre.
The money comes in.
She did not look like, and I know this is unfair. But this is part of why it was such a big story. That woman, Ruby Frankie, did not look like someone who was starving her kids.
No.
She didn't look like, based on those videos, I wouldn't have wanted to grow up in that house. It seemed very religious and kind of, you know, conservative and whatever, I'm sure. But, you know, in reality, I would have thought those kids are lucky, though.
Yeah,
right?
For
she's
sure.
got money. She's obviously a good mom.
Nice,
she loves being a parent, whatever. The worst thing you're going to get is that your friends keep talking about how hot your mom is.
You know? Right. And,
but,
you know,
it's true.
Whatever.
Yeah, but no, instead she decides to starve you and like chain you to beds or whatever, and there was just multiple stories like that that all came out within a couple years, and I don't understand it, but there needs to be something. When I was a kid, I couldn't get a job at the grocery store or the library or these places because I wasn't old enough, and we have made these exceptions for things like acting because we love our movies, so we made exceptions with those labor laws for kids. But because we made exceptions, they do enforce strict things like you gotta get an education, you can only work this many hours.
Sure.
But you don't do that for the internet, so I don't know.
We've talked in circles enough, but the law probably just has to say, here's the law and the child labor laws and the child acting laws and all these things. We haven't said that it was for the internet, but it's for the internet,
exactly.
too. Like, just add internet to the end of that. Film, radio, TV, internet.
Any video production.
Right.
That's
there.
It. That's
just
it.
Just add it to the end of it.
The Church of Laszlo.
Did you see the thing where people were talking about scams? Like, what, you know, all these things that you see these things every single day, and it's all a scam. Did you see that?
No.
I think it was on Reddit, and then it was on BuzzFeed.
Everything's a scam?
All the things that you encounter almost daily that people think are actually scams.
But they're
not. Some of them are, yeah. I mean, I guess it's up to you to decide if you're bothered by it or not. Some of the stuff they complained about, I don't know, I kind of like. I'll tell you what they are in a second. But real quick, I mentioned this to Snow Cone yesterday. I found one quote-unquote story about it, and it was on a website for, like, pilots or people into airplanes. But there is a video of it that made it onto X, and there's a description on the original tweet. And it said, is that what we say, tweet? You'd have to say tweet, right? It was a flight, Laszlo, from Kansas City, our hometown, to Phoenix, okay? There's a guy on the plane who pulls out a lighter, like a cigarette lighter, and just starts flicking it. Flick it on, flick it on, flick it on. He's just flicking the lighter. The flight attendant comes over and says, please stop flicking the lighter. And eventually, the flight attendant is instructed by the pilot to take the lighter. So now the flight attendant's like, you got to give me the lighter. And the people around all have noticed what's going on now. And the people are starting to get upset that this guy won't hand over the lighter. And the flight attendant is asking the other passengers, please let me handle this. But he couldn't get it.
This is your last chance. Look, get the lighter back at the Phoenix. But at this point in time, if you do not give up the lighter, I will divert the aircraft to Denver.
That's the pilot. If you do not give up the lighter, I will divert the aircraft to Denver. He diverted it.
They
landed in Denver because this guy wouldn't hand over his lighter. If you were on that flight and you were sitting behind that guy and you had like a connecting flight in Phoenix,
I'd be pissed.
Come on, man. You gotta
grab the lighter.
I would grab it.
Just grab it.
Because that flight attendant, if you watch the video, the flight attendant's like, no, I got it. It's like, no, you don't. Because you're not allowed to hit him. I mean, I'm not either, but I'm a lot less worried about it than you are. Because nobody here knows who I am or what my job is. I mean, you got to grab that lighter.
Man, I feel like if the cops got at you afterwards, you'd be like, I don't know what he's going to do with the lighter.
Right.
You guys told me if I see something, do something.
Exactly.
Seemed like a terrorist to me. I was lit something on fire. I don't know.
I was alive for 9/11.
Right.
We know now you got to take action, right?
That's what you told us to do.
And what is this? Why is this guy flicking the lighter? I mean, he looks like he's at least in his mid to late 20s. What is he doing? Is this a TikTok prank? Are you mentally ill? They arrested him when he got off the flight.
Is he from here?
That's what I'm trying to find out. Literally, I saw a bunch of people sharing it, a bunch of people sharing the video, and they said from Kansas City to Phoenix. The one quote unquote story I could find was posted on like a website for pilots where they post stories about airplane related things and flying related things. So I don't know. I thought he's probably from Kansas City, right? If it's a flight from KC to Phoenix, I mean, I kind of want to beat him up. I wasn't even on the flight, you know?
What if you go home now, he's not underneath your bed.
Yeah, he might
because you've been talking smack.
He might be there. I'm sure. You know what, sir? If it was a TikTok prank, it was very funny, actually. And I'm just embarrassed.
It just came off real tough for a guy who could be
I'm embarrassed right? because I don't have the balls to do pranks like that. And if you are doing it because you're mentally ill, I apologize.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Okay. I have to say about this. Because this is crazy. I think it's crazy. Wait. I want to see if you guys think it's crazy. So say you buy a case of beers or a case of pop, whatever it is. What do you have to do? You have to take it home, put it in the fridge, and wait for it to get cold, right? And if you want to go somewhere and bring those beverages with you, like on a boat or to a soccer game or whatever it is, you got to fill a cooler full of ice and drag that cooler around because you're not going to sit there and drink hot beer all day, right? So you got to get a cooler. In the future... What will it be like? I imagine in the future, you just push a button on the can, and the beverage gets cold, right? Just push a button. It's cold. Okay, good. No need for a cooler.
Why don't you just stay cold?
Huh? Or, well, yeah, stay cold, but then you still got to, got to put it in the fridge at some point. I guess,
The can itself could be its own cooling can.
Well, they make those. They do make those. They're those big brands. What's the real expensive cooler company? I've got one of those.
Yeti.
I've got a Yeti can thing. Your can screws into it. And it's an insulator for your can.
Yeah. I'm going to screw in your
can. I don't need it because I've never, it never takes me that long to drink a beer. But it was a good gift. In the future, you'll push a button and the pop beer, whatever, it'll be cold. It's here, dude. It's literally here.
We've seen the ones where you press it and like spins it in ice real quick and like soda water, and then like 30 seconds it's cold.
Okay. And this thing, you literally, it's a UK company. They say this is the world's first. Thing like this, product like this. It's on the bottom of the can. I'll show you guys a picture of the can here. There's a picture of the cans. You can see one laying down on the bottom. You see there's like a power button on the bottom.
I see it.
You literally push
the... Got a little snowflake on it.
Yep, got a little snowflake on it.
I mean, there's cooling it.
Yep, you push the button on it and you turn the can over. And when you turn the can over, you'll see the bottom of the can starts to turn blue. And the snowflake turns blue. It's then cold. And that's it. And then it'll stay cold, they say, for 45 minutes. There's some sort of chemistry thing they got that runs on the outside of the can. It stays separate from your beverage, obviously, that you're activating, kind of like hot hands or one of those things. But instead of getting hot, it gets cold.
Well, and if it's hot, it can't make it cold that fast.
It said it can take it. Hold on, let me find the temperature because I just saw this. I mean, it's pretty impressive. Where does it say how cold? It's something like 43 degrees. Okay, so if it's... It says it can get it down to 6 degrees Celsius. Now, I know nobody knows what Celsius is, but there's got to be some way to translate that into English, right?
I don't know.
But it says it can get it down to 6 degrees Celsius by pushing the button, turning it over, and then it will stay cold for up to 45 minutes. And the company says
that
fully,
is 42 degrees Fahrenheit.
42,
42, 43. It translates to 42.8.
Mm. Is that cold enough?
To drink?
Is that a cold beer?
Yeah. It's not.
It's almost freezing.
Super cold, but it's cold, yeah.
Well, it's really cold.
Yeah.
It's pretty cold, right? I mean, I don't know. Like if you take it out of the fridge, it's probably...
34 is freezing, 32, right?
32 is freezing. Yeah, I figure stuff in the fridge is like 36, 37.
Yeah, that's cold beer for sure.
Yeah. So it's cold enough.
Absolutely.
They did a demo of it, but the video's horrible.
What I can say is it's a natural organic salt-based component, which is fully biodegradable, and it's activated by water. Simply turn the can upside down and then push the button down briefly. Give it a little stir.
That is a cold drink. I mean, it's not ice cold, but it is definitely feels like it's been chilled, and I'd be very happy to drink it.
Dude, that is absolutely the future.
Say it again. How do they do it?
How do we invest it? You push the button, turn it over. He's giving it a little shake.
Turn it upside down.
Yeah, turn upside down, push the button.
What's this thing look like?
You didn't see the picture? I'll show you again.
No.
These cans look like this, but see, there's a bunch of space. All this aluminum that you see at the top, that's for the company to use. So if it's Miller Lite or whatever, they can put their logo on it.
Let me see it again.
But then it would still have the button on the bottom with the snowflake. You press the button.
Wait, the cans are going to be like that?
Mm-hmm.
How much is a goddamn case of beer going to cost them?
They say it's recyclable. So I don't know. Like, you just reuse them. Maybe you pay a deposit, and then as long as you keep bringing them back.
So it's not something you, like, put a can of Coke into. It's an actual,
they
like,
sell
bottle
it like
itself.
That. They want to sell it like that. The issue is, if you had it the exact same size as a 12-ounce can, it wouldn't hold the full 12 ounces because it's got its own fluids in there that are making it cold. So if you want 12 ounces, the cans will look a little bit more like tall boys. Okay, big deal. That's still the future. I push a button on it and turn it it over.
I don't
really
understand how that's going to work.
It's got its own fluids in it.
How the companies are going to get into this?
Well, I don't understand. Right. Like, well, I don't understand the con. I guess I mean, I understand getting cold beer and pushing a button.
That sure, part. Sure. You got that.
But you're saying Miller would use these cans with their Miller logo on it. And then what, we drink these cans and then just throw the cans out?
You're supposed to recycle them, I said.
Okay, but I'm supposed to recycle a lot of stuff.
Right, but you probably have a deposit on this. So they probably do cost a little bit more, and if you want to make sure you keep getting that money back, you bring
them
back.
You got to bring them back, and how much more are they?
They didn't say. They haven't said yet.
You're thinking it'd be like $5-6.
That maybe, but then I think about how much like hot hands are. Those aren't $5 or $6 a piece, right? They're pretty cheap, aren't they? So I don't know how cheap they could get this, but it does seem like if you got to put this chemical solution in every can, it's going to cost more than $1.
Buy it all the time.
Well, that's the thing. You could buy it for special occasions. Hey, we're going to the lake today. I don't want to drag a cooler around. Let's get the cool cans. And they sell them, and it's a premium price, whatever.
Well, I mean, they can't use that name, though.
What is
it? I have
name?
It trademarked for your mother.
I thought that was huge cans.
Cool cans.
You can't trademark that many things about cans, okay? They are.
I also trademarked for your mother up down upside down button.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot going on there.
Push the button, turn upside down. Yeah. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's Delta H Innovations Cool Can, and there is one video on YouTube of them actually showing this thing. It's, you know, it's not exactly the iPhone reveal, but it's a smaller version of that. And people must know what they're about to see because they seem excited. These guys come out. Problem is, the video that they took is from a cell phone, like in the very back. So you can barely see them moving the can around. They haven't put out like a promotional video, but they have put out promotional pictures. That's the picture I was showing Twitch and Lazo and Snowcone. And yes, the idea would be that the can would still at the bottom of this can have the snowflake and say cool can. It's like, oh, there's a case of Keystone cool cans. I'm afraid that Keystone won't do it. I'm afraid that they'll be like, no, we're just putting those on Coors. We're not going to put them on the Keystones because those are cheaper. You know what I mean? But I think they should offer it. I might want the Keystone Cool Cans because maybe a case of Keystone Cool Cans now costs the same as a case of regular Coors, right? You know, there's that to consider. I think we need to invest.
Right, it feels like those cans would be expensive.
That's what I need to know.
The liquor stores and grocery stores already have the infrastructure to have, you know, the refrigerators in place. So when you walk in, like, what's the?
Yeah, but they do sell. But you can definitely plenty of places sell beer. Not in a cooler.
Absolutely.
Especially
but the majority
stores.
Of places you're going to go to are going to be
you
a cooler.
Want it
if
cold,
you want it cold.
If you want it cold beer, it's available. It's readily available.
Yeah.
It's right there.
But if you want to keep it cold.
Because we don't have a refrigeration problem.
No.
The infrastructure's in place. It's all built.
It's if you want to take this beer out with you somewhere, like
you
a bunch of them, and you want it because you need a cooler, right? So instead of packing a heavy cooler full of ice,
so like
just
a
buy a case of these.
So
exactly.
Anywhere you need
like
a cooler.
You're going to a game, you're going out, I don't know what you're doing. But yeah, and instead of
you can
packing
still bring
a cooler
cold
full of
beer,
ice,
the thing is like maybe by the end it's not going to be that cold.
Well, you're,
like,
you make,
like if you brought a cold, like,
oh,
I
if you brought one
saying.
Cold beer with you, if you brought a case of cold beer, it's not going to be cold for very long.
Yeah. Well, if I'm drinking by myself at a game,
right?
If I bring a 12-pack of cold beer and we all drink them, it's not going to get warm by the time we go into the game.
Well, I mean, if it's summertime and you're going out, or if you're going tailgating
you
or something like that,
a cold beer out of the fridge, it doesn't get warm that fast.
No, but if
by the time we get to Kaufman and pound four beers each, it's fine.
I see what you're saying, but if I'm putting beer in the car and then driving all the way to Kaufman and then we're out there and it's the middle of summertime,
I've only done this experiment with 72 million times in my life.
I get it, but most people bring a cooler.
A cold beer and a 12-pack will last you to get in the game.
A lot of people would bring a cooler, though, because they want
it
to be cold.
They're going to stay for a long time.
Yeah. Yes, but there are things, if you, look, any people do use coolers and fill them full of ice.
Do.
Any place where they're filling coolers full of ice with drinks, instead of doing that, they could just get cool cans. That's the thing. And you could have it cold whenever. When I get home from the liquor store, I can set the case of beer next to me on the floor like I already do. Instead of the beer getting progressively warmer the whole time, each time I grab one of those beers, I'll push the button and it'll be just as cold as the previous one. And I never have to get up and go
to
the fridge.
How long would it take? I need a scientist to tell me, how long would it take from a beer that's 33 degrees to get to 42 degrees? Because that's really what you're talking about is 42 degrees.
Yeah, depends on what you're putting it in and how hot it is, where you're putting it, and all those things, right? So, like, if it's got a bunch of other cold beer around it, the beers in the middle are going to stay cold longer. The ones on the outside will get warm faster. All those variables.
I'm not sold.
You're not sold on a... Oh, my God, it's a beer can or a pop can that you push a button and it's cold.
I mean, it's cool. I'm just not sure I'm going to be paying for it.
I'm not sure I need it.
Depending on what the premium is.
Don't you not want to get up from the couch to get another stone?
I mean, that'd be great.
That's my life, but the thing is, they do start to get warmer. So you drink it faster too because you're like, don't get warm. So now you're drinking faster than you normally would.
But I didn't know what it's going to cost. You know, like Lazo said, I'm not sure how much it's going to cost.
Right, it's going to be a luxury item. Okay,
I've never felt like and I know you have talked about this, that you buy a case of Keystones and you sit in a chair and you drink them consecutively without moving.
Yeah, yes.
I know you said that.
I'm relaxing. Right.
I get it. I don't really have a problem with going to the fridge and grabbing a couple.
I don't
like, I'll bring
love
two
it.
Back with me.
I get two at a time.
Yeah, two at a time, but it's, you know, it's not. But look, my house, you know, my chair is, you know, within walking distance of my refrigerator.
Yes, so is mine.
I don't
okay.
have like a
I
west wing or anything.
I get
it's
it.
Pretty close.
You sound like someone when they showed off the remote control for the TV and the guy's like, I don't mind getting up and changing the channel on the TV. It's only 2 feet away from me. No, this makes it so much easier. You don't need to go to the refrigerator. It can be cold whenever you want it to be cold. I mean, this is the future, guys. Look, we don't have jetpacks.
It's cool. It's awesome. I'm just not sure I'm going to be using it.
Okay, I don't think you guys are understanding what this is. It is a beverage can that you can put beer or pop or whatever, Faygo, whatever you want in.
Wait, and we don't put it in it. They put it in it.
They put it in it. You buy it.
Right.
You can buy
the
any.
Company.
You can potentially buy anything you want.
Right.
That you drink out of a can.
I buy a Bud Light.
Sparkling water, beer, yeah, whatever. And you say, I don't even need to put this in the fridge. I'm just going to pop the button on the bottom. By the way, maybe the stores will say, hey, you know what? We save money by not refrigerating stuff. So if you buy stuff that isn't refrigerated, the price will actually come down a little bit and make up for your cool can. Maybe it'll cost the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the trucks can just ship it without refrigerators. You don't need refrigerated trucks to ship it.
Shipping cost. Yeah.
No Thermo King. None of that. You just deliver it. Boom. Wherever you are.
Well, I don't know if they refrigerate the trucks. As I was thinking that through, like, why would they need to refrigerate on the truck?
They don't. They get them there and then they put them in the...
Well, now you're putting everything on the liquor store, you know, so they got to run these big refrigerators. That's expensive. My electric bill's high, and I only have one refrigerator. So I'm just saying, you guys are downplaying the fact that some guys in the UK figured out how to make a beer can or a pop can cold by pushing a button on it. Turn it over, push the button, boom,
oh,
it's cold.
It. We understand how it works.
You guys
cool.
like, meh, I no, wish we were doing better.
I just cool. never had a problem with getting a cold beer. I don't remember a time
you've been
where I've been like, man, you know, I can't find a cold beer.
You've been brainwashed. Imagine if you never had to use a refrigerator because everything had a button on it that made it hot or cold, and suddenly...
That would be different.
Yeah, well, this is the beginning. This is the beginning. Don't you see? This is the first step. We now have buttons that we just push, and it makes our beverages cold.
Yeah,
I
want to
know what this fluid is that's making it do.
They say, that tells you, I mean, what are you, a chemist?
Yeah.
You get salt water or something, and I don't know.
Salt water...
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's a saltwater component embedded in the self-chilling cool can's walls.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he says it's already the base of the water and salt components for the cooling process. I don't know. It's all safe. It's separated from your beverage. It's not like it's, you know, in the bottom or anything. I
guess it would be nice outside of my garage.
Yes, it would be nice.
I don't have
4th of July. You're sitting watching fireworks.
Most people have beer, you know, garage fridges. I don't have one.
Mm.
You don't?
No.
I feel it's like the first thing because your garage is like bachelor garage,
but there's no room in there.
Damn. Yeah, that sucks.
I mean, I don't have an old fridge either. You know, like it's supposed to be an old fridge. I shouldn't buy a new one.
Yeah, well, you just buy a used one.
Yeah.
But
I could buy one this year.
Sitting
but
out
that
in a chair,
said,
4th of July.
What if they had cans, you know, that would come in handy for that.
Yeah. I'm in the driveway. It's 4th of July. It's 95 degrees. Watching the kids set off fireworks. I got a case of these cool cans next to me. And I just push the button. Anyone want a stone? There you go. It's cold. Like, oh, those weren't in the fridge. Yeah, you don't need it in the fridge. You guys are living in the past. That was 20th century stuff. We're on to the 21st century now. Just push the button, dickhead.
We don't need ice.
That's right. Get rid of the ice. Like, you run and go get ice? No, I don't need ice. My beverages have buttons on them. What are you doing? What are you doing with your life? You're going to that ice machine still. Every time we go out on the boat, you got to go get more ice. We need more ice. Can someone go get more ice? No. I'm getting cool cans, bitch.
Well, you make a good point.
Yes, it's awesome.
I don't go out on a boat.
Well, I do.
And I don't sit in my chair and drink 24 Keystone Lights in a row.
Well, most people do. And do you sit out and watch fireworks on 4th of July?
I do, but never to the point where I've thought my beer's going to get warm.
Because you don't even consider bringing that many beers out because you know they'll get warm.
But, I mean,
it might be a subconscious thought.
With your dad in Florida, right? I mean,
and he'd bring a cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like a huge inconvenience at the time.
I hate carrying them around.
You know?
And then you got to dump all the water out and everything.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Boom. Just push the
button. But again, as much as I never thought of it as an inconvenience, you know, it's because I didn't know there was any other.
You never had a hot option. Beer roll out from under your seat in the car, and you go, like, "Oh my God, there's a beer in my car," but you pick it up, and it's been in the car for like 3 days, and it's hot. And like, I don't really want to drink this, but you drink it anyway, and it's like, you know, 70 degrees.
While you're driving?
No, of course not.
Can you warm it up? Can you cool it down once you've opened it?
Can you cool it down once you've opened it? Oh, like.
So if I'm nursing a beer and I'm walking around, can I push it?
It's a one-time mix. It's a one-time reaction.
You have to go upside down,
45
right?
minutes. Yeah, you push the button, one-time reaction, 45 minutes. It's like hot hands, but the cold version.
45 minute what?
That it stays cold.
Stays cold, okay.
That's what they claim.
Mm. Well, I'm glad you're so excited.
We should throw money at it.
What do you mean?
We should invest in these guys.
Money.
Yes, they do. I think they're trying to get help. They're patent pending. This is a big deal. We could make them famous with our reach. Church Lazar brought to you by Cool Can. What hot crap are you drinking?
I like it.
Get a Cool Can.
You should call him.
Yeah.
Tell him you're the guy. You're the guy who drinks 24 Keystone Lights.
I'm one of them.
And you got to pound them. Because sometimes
I know it's going to get hot. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go to the fridge now. I can slow down.
And you think we're kidding? We're not kidding. I've been to his house when he's been knee deep in those Keystones.
Playing Call of Duty, listening to, you know.
We walked a Quick Trip.
End of the night, just turning on YouTube videos.
He's walking in. He's like, "Hey, hey, hey!" And this guy's buying a beer or something.
I told you to put me to bed hours earlier. I begged you to.
Man.
I begged you. You exploited me that night. I'm like a girl that didn't consent because I begged you to put me to bed. No, don't make me leave the house. No, come on.
We walk into Quick Trip. This guy's buying beer, and first off, the guy from Quick Trip goes, "Oh, you need some Keystones."
He's a cool guy.
He knows right away.
He's a cool guy.
It's like 5 to 2 in the morning. He's like, "Yo, my man, need some more Keystones."
He's cool.
And the other guy's like, "Hey, he knows your order." And he's got like a 12-pack of beer. And Slim goes, "Hey, you." And the guy's like, "Me?" The guy just says to me, he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Your money's no good here, sir." And then he starts buying
beer. Oh, I bought his drinks. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I get it.
Wait, your
a lot
money,
of money
is no good here, sir.
I might have known that guy, though. We might buy him.
He didn't
buy
look like you did.
Okay, probably not then. I just, you know, I get very generous.
The Church of Laszlo.
Baseball, man. Aren't you excited?
Yeah, what a great
day. Did you bet anything?
I bet for the White Sox to lose. I'm doing my yearly thing.
Oh, yeah. White Sox to lose. And I think somebody on Twitch did, too, didn't they?
No, yeah, they're winning. They won.
Oh, damn.
Well, that's okay. You just double it tomorrow. It's a long season.
Yeah. The old Martin
Long season,
right?
Yeah.
Double
it. I mean, it makes us even more money if they lose, so you're good.
What do you start with?
Well, whatever. I start with 15.
Okay.
So I bet $15 today.
Tomorrow will be 30.
And so now I'm down $15. Tomorrow I'll bet 30.
Yeah.
And then if I lose, then I'll bet 60.
Okay.
If I lose again, I'll bet 120. As soon as I get that money back, then I go back to betting 15. They're not going to win more games than they lose this year. You're guaranteed to win money. It's just how much money.
They are they the worst team probably this year?
People have said that.
And who is possibly going to be able to stop the Dodgers this year? I don't understand.
I did get a message from somebody on Facebook or something that had bet $5 and just said, "Let's get rich on the White Sox to lose."
Somebody on
who
Twitch
did that? Remember, you got to double it tomorrow. If you don't double it, you won't get your money back. You could just, you'll end up winning money, but not like we want to win.
Right. You got to do the martingale. Is that what it's called? Martingale bet, where you double until you get back. I just don't know. I mean, I've only been paying attention a little bit, but, man, the Dodgers look like they're as good as champions. I mean, who's going to stop them? I did text your son earlier and ask him for some tips.
Did you say anything?
Who to bet for. He said, I would see the line on the Royals win total for sure. I think they finish at exactly 87 wins this year.
Okay.
I also think that they will win the Central.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have him.
Cole Reagan, Cy Young would be good to throw a couple bucks on. So Cole Reagan, Cy Young would be good to throw a couple bucks on. So I'm doing that too. But I don't know. My app is it's asking me for a different password. I can't get logged in. It's that same app. It's the app that if you win, they don't pay any money, I think. But we'll find out. I like to bet, and I love betting baseball because I like to bet Royals, and I'll say they're going to win by this many runs or lose by this many runs. And it goes, they'll do 3 or 4 runs each direction. And now if you bet everything, they're going to win by 3, lose by 3, because you have to do each one individually.
Right.
Then you don't really make any money back. But if you just say, if you think they're going to win, or you're not really sure, just do a few runs. Your bet is covered for quite a few runs, and
I won quite a few bets last year. The problem is I want to do it again the next day. I take that $300 or whatever, and I immediately want to gamble it again.
Vinny hit a home run in the bottom of the third, if you're curious.
Okay.
There you go. He hit one. And unfortunately, who I really like, but Jonathan ended 0-for-4 today.
Well, so $30 tomorrow, right? That's all you got to do.
Yeah, I got to do $30 in the White Sox tomorrow.
Yep.
And by the way, they're playing one of the worst teams, so this is going to happen. I think they're opening against the Angels. So, but the math works. Trust me. It's just, trust me. You're going to, I think, what did I do earlier? I did the math. I was like, you know, at worst case scenario, we're going to come up like $800 ahead.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario. Last year, we won a ton more.
Yep.
It'll be all right.
Enjoy that investment. You can listen to those stock podcasts and all that stuff.
Right. Talk about, I'm telling you, $15 every day on the White Sox to lose.
Yes.
If they win, double it. That's all you have to do. Keep doubling it, and you will make, what did I say? I think, like, if you did that with, like, $5, well, you'd make, like, $2,500.
That's real
financial advice. $2,500 by the end of summer?
Boom.
Does that help you out? It's a vacation. Yeah, no, I'm giving you a vacation. Just take it. Are we done?
I'm in. We're done.
Well, good show, Vinny. You know, 3-run home run today, right? Stay positive, kids.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
Attention, ladies in the Leawood area. Beaumont Health and Wellness is here and offers award-winning wellness and beauty treatments like hormone therapy, weight loss, body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Right now, get our $147 hormone replacement starter kit, including a private consultation, precision blood work, and a free B12 shot to recharge your body. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.